You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On this week's episode of Unwritten.
Got him swinging and he has his no-hitter.
Hello and welcome to Unwritten from Odyssey and MLB. We're going behind baseball's secret rules. My name is Ron Darling, and with me is the great Jimmy Rollins. Now, today's rule, Jimmy, is do not jinx a no-no by talking about it.
Oh, you can't do that.
One of baseball's fundamental superstitions. When a pitcher has a no-hitter going, don't talk about it.
It is something I think is silly. Superstitions in general, I think, are silly, but you have to respect them. And the one that I would honor, I'm a jokester. You know, I like to keep everything light. Everybody's so
loose.
Serious. And it's, but a no-hitter is something that's rare. You look at the number of games that are played in the history of baseball, compare that to the number of no-hitters. And then you have the almost no-hitters, guys that are going to the eighth and getting 8 2/3 and giving it up. You just can't mess with that. And for me, it's the situation like, okay, you went 8 2/3 and you gave up the hit. Now, can we say something? Like, what's the difference? That's how I've always, you know, looked at it. And I'd rather for a guy, the pitcher on the mound to be aware, because sometimes you're coming in and especially as a National League pitcher, you know, you want to be a part of the rah-rah and everybody's avoiding you. Like, you have the plague, like no one's talking to me. You're sitting on a bench all by yourself and you're down there with the Gatorade or the trainer that's or the medical trainer that's in the dugout. And that is your only friend that day. And it's because everybody around you, most, I don't know what it's like to be a pitcher. You could tell me better, obviously, but everybody is superstitious for you. Not that you are, you just have a job. I'm going out there. I'm trying to get out. Who's coming up the next inning? What do I have to do? And everybody's just like, yo, he has a no-hitter. Don't say anything. Why'd you even mention it? Like, dude, you're looking at the scoreboard and thinking the same exact thing that I am. And it's like, well, he can't hear me, so it doesn't matter. And the time it goes out and a hit comes out and you're the first guy that happened to mention it, you get blamed. So I think it's something that, you know, you say with your eyes, you're looking around, everybody's nodding like, yeah, I'm seeing this too. Hopefully, you know, there's no pressure. Hopefully he doesn't know. But I was always literally on the side of, why not talk about it? If I'm hitting in, you know, 30 or 40 straight games, everybody's talking about it anyway. So right. Just enjoy the moment.
You know, what's interesting about the no-hitter is that, like you said, there's so few of them. I think the no-hitter and the cycle have about the same number, and it hasn't happened that often. So our unwritten rule is, and you addressed it, you do not talk to the pitcher while he's in a no-hitter. Now, I think the most famous no-hitter I've seen, I did recently, was in the postseason when the great Roy Halladay beat the Cincinnati Reds in his first start in the postseason. One, did you say anything to Roy Halladay after about the fifth inning? And two, what is the nerves factor for people in the field during a no-hitter?
Well, that was different. It was special in a sense that, you know, Roy had been such a great pitcher for so many years and had never had a taste of the playoffs. And here we are, a team that has won the World Series, And more than anything, you wanted to win for Roy. And playing behind him, I would say, honestly, and this is no exaggeration, being perfectly honest, 3 pitches into the game, I looked at Chase, I said, they have no chance. None. You knew what Doc had in his repertoire. You knew how he prepared. And I'd been behind him enough to know when he's completely on. Now, I didn't think of, you know, no hitting them, but I knew he had no hit type stuff that day, 3 pitches into the game.
Roy Halladay about ready to cash in on something he's waited for his entire career. And away we go, a bouncing ball to Jimmy Rollins. Pitch way out.
As the game is going on, and you know Roy could really care less about a no-hitter. He wanted to win. He wanted to get to the World Series and win a World Series. That was bigger than anything that you could put in front of him as far as his career was concerned. But you do know you want to be part of something special too, because it's involving him. Like, I was on the field when the great Roy Halladay threw a perfect game in Miami. I wasn't, but that's what you want to say. I was there when he threw the no-hitter in the playoffs. So you're looking around and you honestly say that if a ball is a 50-50 ball, I hope they give me an error and they keep his no-hitter intact. That's how much, you know, you really wanted for this man to have that special moment. And not that he needed our help that day, other than the last play of the game when Chooch made the play, dodging the bat and throwing the ball out. Throwing Brandon out at first base. But I know me personally, I said, if it's a ball that, you know, I can get to and it might be 50-50, I really hope they give me an error. I'd prefer an error over them scoring that hit, because that's how dominant he was that day. And I wanted that to be shown and reflected in the record book. No one talks about it. And it's Roy Halladay. You don't talk to him on days he's pitching anyway. But then you throw in the no-hitter on top of that. And the fact that he's just mowing him down, minimum pitches per inning. It's like, man, like, and I said, I'm a jokester. This is not a joking moment. That is not a guy you walk up to and joke about. And, you know, even when it was done, you know, the conversation in the clubhouse, you know, we're celebrating and, you know, we got some champagne bottles out. I don't think we were drinking it because we were still in the middle. You just celebratory champagne for the no-hitter. His whole thing was, you know, that's great. Let's go win another one tomorrow, because that's all he cared about. So in one way, it takes the pressure off because, you know, he could care less about it. But in another way, you want this special moment and to be on the field with him and celebrate and enjoy the special moment with him, that there's a different type of pressure that you put on yourself, irregardless of him. Like I said, if it's my way, please give it an error. If it's a 50-50 ball to anybody, just let it be an error. We'll live with that. We don't like errors as defenders. But in this situation, I would have gladly taken an error.
A bouncer, Ruiz. In time, Roy Halladay has thrown a no-hitter.
You know, unwritten rules in baseball sometimes follow superstitions, and I was addressing that before. Nobody outside of the game knows how superstitious a lot of ball players are. Doesn't sound like you were superstitious, but I played with guys that wore the same hat. I played with guys who wore the same jock strap all year because they were having a good year, the same T-shirt. How nasty does that sound? It was the entire year. And I had an interesting personal thing that happened to me when I was with the A's in 92. So I had about a half dozen no-hitters during the course of my career that went into the eighth inning, ninth inning. And in 1992, I had a good year for the A's. We went to the playoffs and came up one game short of going to the World Series against the great Blue Jays.
Yeah, I remember that, Ron. Thanks for reminding me
of
my childhood.
Yes, I know.
Yeah,
sorry about that. Because you were ready to go.
Ready.
So twice in that season, in the course of 3 weeks, I faced the Blue Jays. And for 7 innings, no-hit the Blue Jays, once in Toronto and once in Oakland. And the first batter in the eighth inning to ruin the no-hitter was the same batter both times with the same hit both times, and it was Candy Maldonado. I'm sure you've met before in your travels.
Yes.
The great Candy with a ground ball base hit to center field ruined the no-hitter both times. He was a pinch hitter both times. It was just the weirdest coincidence to ever happen. And I will tell you, and every time I had those circumstances, it was the same. People just would not talk to you, especially in the National League. You were talking about, you got to hit. You know, you got to go up there and you're in the on-deck circle. If you're in an away ballpark, a lot of people are screaming at you, you got a no-hitter going. You got a no-hitter going, because they're trying to break the curse as well. But I've always found it a little silly as well, is that everyone wants to give you their advice when you are in a regular game. Here you are trying to close out what's going to be a historical game, and all of a sudden, no one has anything to say. So
let me ask you this. You brought up Candy. Now, it happens the first time, and he breaks it up, and it's like, okay, you know, the no-hitter's done. Now it's about trying to go get the win. But here you are the second time, same situation, Candy's coming up again. Does that cross your mind? Is that fresh in your head, like, okay, this can't happen twice?
It happened within 3 weeks, so yeah, it was fresh in my head. And I threw two different pitches on both times. A sinker, the first time he came up, base hit up the middle. A little cutter, slider, the second time up, same base hit up the middle. And every time I see him to this day, I have two choice words for him, because he works for Spanish radio. I say the same two words to him every single time, and then we each give each other a hug. So it's, you know, those are the kind of things that happen for people that play in this wonderful game over the course of time. So you and I have established, Jimmy, that we're not superstitious, but a lot of people are. And I think what happens in no-hitters is that you know that history is going to be made, and you don't want at some point to have to answer for doing something on the field or on the bench. Like, you want everything to be pristine and perfect, because if it doesn't happen, and it's usually not going to happen, but if it doesn't happen, you don't have anything to answer for. Like having someone go, you know what, if you hadn't fooled around in the seventh inning in there, concentrating on what you were doing, you might have gotten a no-hitter. I mean, maybe that's where it comes from.
And you know what, Ron? I can honestly say I 100% agree with that. I mentioned I like to joke. I like to smile. I'll look up in the sky. I'll look in the stands. I'll look at Chase, who never smiled, but I'll get him to smile. But yes, although I want to say something, because playing baseball is fun. It's supposed to be joyous. You know, yes, you take it serious because it is your job. And it's, you know, your job to go out there and win. But I want to celebrate those moments as they're happening, not after they happen. But some things you just have to let ride for that reason. I don't want to be the one having to have the conversations with this guy about me mentioning something to him and not knowing he felt the way about it and forever being blamed for the reason why it didn't happen. Now, is that true? No, it isn't true. You're not the reason why it didn't happen, unless you... he told you to go left and you went right and the ball went exactly where he told you to go. Other than that, look, it wasn't meant to be. Whether I said something, whether 30,000 people in the stands were screaming at you, whether it was the guy on TV or somebody tweeting or on social, any other platforms, it's not their fault. And you know what? It's not your fault either. You know whose fault it is? The guy who got the hit. That's the reason why you get the no-hitter. That is the only reason, superstition or not. That guy had his superstitions, maybe, but I do agree. You never want to have to look back and say, man, if I just kept my mouth shut, if I was just serious, if I just followed this unwritten rule of what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not, maybe it would have happened. And I don't know if that's anything anyone ever wants to, you know, live with, but as a baseball player, understanding how special and how rare this feat is, you definitely don't want that label.
Fernando Valenzuela.
has pitched a no-hitter at 10:17 in the evening of June the 29th, 1990.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You know, Jimmy, on our show, Unwritten Rules here, some unwritten rules have more of a history than others, right? Mm-hmm. We look at it and we can see how it's transformed over time. But boy, I can't remember when the unwritten rule of not talking to the pitcher ever happened. In fact, I was thinking in 1947, Bill Bevins was throwing a no-hitter, and Red Barber mentioned it on the radio, and his partner Mel Allen almost lost his mind because he thought it was really jinxing the broadcast. I'm thinking today, can you imagine in a Twitter world where people always want to shame you anyway,
right?
Get to a point where they really are reacting in real time to a no-hitter and don't want their broadcaster to jinx it.
In 47, and when you were listening to the game at 47, shall I throw that in there, Ron? how did you feel? You know, did you think he jinxed it? I mean, I honestly don't think it has any bearing on whether a guy, you know, achieves that feat or not. I really think it's up to the players on the field that determine that. But yet, if you're a listener, you're a fan, you want something to happen, and it doesn't, someone has to take the blame. It can't be a missed call, a missed strike by an umpire where the guy thought he had him struck out, and there's another pitch, and boom, and everybody blames the umpire. Hey, we're human beings. We make mistakes. When you're in the booth, when you're tweeting, you're on social media, you're doing your job. You're just bringing the news to the people. You're speaking on the obvious, which is why I think superstitions are so silly, because it's obvious what's happening. And, you know, we don't know when or why, other than the fact that as athletes, especially baseball players, were so superstitious. And I'm sure it happened one day, a guy was throwing a no-hitter and someone said something and boom, the no-hitter was broken up. Now, you know what? We can't say anything. If a guy has a no-hitter, you say nothing. You leave him alone, you let him be. And maybe that's how it started. Or maybe it was something just because a pitcher got mad and decided I don't want to talk to anybody on days I'm pitching. And we just extended that to anything, a no hitter, a shutout. This is his first career attempt at a shutout. Who knows where it started? But that's what's so great about Unwritten. Some things we'll know the history of, some things we'll figure out. But either way, it's a mystery and we'll be chasing it down.
And I think you're right. A lot of times it depends on the pitchers. I mean, many pitchers, I would say the majority, I don't know if you'd agree, want to be left alone on their day that they're pitching.
I agree.
They're not very social animals. And in fact, in Don Larsen, who pitched the only perfect game in World Series history in 56, if you ever knew Don Larsen, he was one of the most gregarious, happy guys to ever be play the game. And in that game, he said to Mickey Mantle, "Wouldn't it be something if I did it, Mick?"
Wow.
And probably Mickey was appalled. But, you know, that's the kind of personality he had. But I was mentioning before, Corey Kluber had a no-hitter last year. And Michael Kay, the great announcer for the New York Yankees, mm-hmm. was doing it. And as the game unfolded, the Twitterverse started to remind Michael to not mention the no-hitter, don't ruin the no-hitter, almost kind of bullying him into making sure that he didn't do what a lot of broadcasters do. And I think that's one of the worlds we live in now, is that, you know, things happen in real time. If I'm not watching a game, I will get on Twitter, I'll see on Twitter that someone has a no-hitter through seven. I get, as quick as I can, to stream that game and watch the rest of it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody gets alerts on their phones. This is happening on your tablets. You can be watching ESPN and across the bottom ticker, MLB Network across the bottom ticker. Such and such has a no-hitter in progress, and they click to the program. And, you talk about the Twitterverse or the social mediaverse. If you believe in the energies and you're saying, don't talk about it, aren't you already bringing it up?
That's right.
Aren't you in some way jinxing it? If you're superstitious, don't say anything. That's what we're supposed to do in the dugout. If you're at home, that's what you do, especially in the National League. I'm not sure what it's like in American League, but no one says anything until it's either broken up or the game is done and we're celebrating. And when you're celebrating, it's too late to talk about the no-hitter. Now it's up to the pitcher to go answer all these great questions about his great day. So, we're always looking for someone to blame. We can't a lot of times accept the fact that what is meant to be will be, and what isn't won't. And I think in those situations, and maybe that's where superstitions come from, because we want to believe in something that if we do something the same way this time, it's going to actually work out to be something great, fantastic. And the one time it happens, or maybe it happens, you know, to a couple guys like Nolan Ryan, you know, 8 or 9 times, whatever it is, you say, yeah, there's something to this. And you stick with it, and although it fails 99% of the time, you're holding out for that 1% of hope.
Well, then maybe we have to do a reversal here. The first person that mentions a broadcaster jinxing it is the person who has jinxed it himself. So we'll put it on that person.
There you go.
If he's a real person. And then Michael Kay, to his credit, just said, like you said, Jimmy, if broadcasters aren't doing their job, that's part of their job, is to let people know what's going on and why you should be watching the broadcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So you and I are in the media now. you do in the pre- and post-game.
Is that what you call this?
Yeah, it is what we call it. We try not to say it, but it is. We're part of the media. So
I've crossed over to the dark side.
You have crossed over. Remember how many times you said, I will never be a part of the media, right? You said that many times,
never.
I'm sure. I did too, by the way. The how about the media? What's their part in it? I hear I work with Gary Cohen, and he loves to talk about a no-hitter after the fifth inning. He'll just say, well, no-hitter going here for so-and-so pitcher.
Santana, the first Met since Seaver to take a no-hit bid to the ninth inning.
And I always look at him like, really? I mean, you're not supposed to say that. But do you think the media plays a part in any of this?
I think the media plays a part in bringing the drama to the fans at home or are listening on the radios, in their cars, on their phones, wherever they are, because they're not there. And you have to bring that excitement, and you know they're feeling. You have to assume that they're feeling the pressure as everyone else in that ballpark, as the guys other than the pitcher are feeling it also. And you could take it back just to, you know, when we were young and we're watching guys, and you're more nervous probably than anybody, at least you feel that way, than anybody else watching the game, because you're such a fan. You really want this to happen. Sometimes even if it's against your team, like, you know what, we're not going to win this game anyway. I want to see a part of history. But I think you have to. You have to keep that engagement. You have to let those superstitions, those unwrittens, come out and let them debate. And someone, like, when you give up the hit, someone has to be the scapegoat anyway. And at the end of the day, you go ask the player, the pitcher, ask you, you know, when were you aware of it?
Yeah.
You know, did you notice people not talking to you? You're not going to walk in a clubhouse and hear the announcer talking about you. You have a no-hitter anyway. You might go to the, you know, the bat rack area, go to the bathroom, you come right back and you sit by your lonesome. So I think it's fun for everyone listening and watching. I don't think it has any bearing on the pitcher of the game itself. But then again, I'm not a superstitious guy, so I don't think any of it matters.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not a superstitious guy at all. I had an interesting thing in my career. I got traded from the New York Mets to the Montreal Expos, and I was supposed to be in a three-person trade or a three-team trade. I was supposed to go to the Mets, the Expos, and then the Expos on paper to the Oakland A's. But something happened in the middle, and I ended up in Montreal, and I can speak French, so I did a couple of interviews in French. I always thought that kept me in Montreal for 3 weeks because they were finally happy to have like a player who could speak French to their media. But I witnessed something. Expos were playing while I was there in Montreal, and on Friday night, Mark Gardner threw a no-hitter for 9 innings, but it never counted because it was tied 0-0, and the Dodgers won the game in the 10th, 1-0, so he never got the no-hitter. And then on Sunday, 2 days later, El Presidente, Dennis Martinez, threw a perfect game against the Dodgers. So even though I didn't perform very well for Montreal, and they moved me along to Oakland pretty quickly, I saw one of the greatest displays of weekend pitching you will ever see. And I remember Mark Gardner, who was just a really wonderful kid from Fresno, very lighthearted, easygoing. He had no problem talking to people and people talking to him. But El Presidente, Dennis Martinez, on Sunday sat behind the Gatorade, whatever that thing is called, cooler. And he was so far away because if you remember that Dodger dugout in the day, it was as long as any dugout could ever be. And so here he was having the greatest day of his life, of an unbelievable career, and he did it all in silence.
And here's another question. Like, how do you, as a pitcher that is throwing the no-hitter, and you not being a superstitious guy, so we'll have you speak more in general. What is okay and what isn't okay? Like, should I at least come and say, hi, what's going on? How you feeling? Or do I just completely let you be behind that Gatorade cooler with the one friend of yours, and that's probably your glove?
I always wanted someone, you know, slap my leg, like, go get it, big fella, or something like that. You know, just some encouragement that that we're all in this together. Because every pitcher will tell you who's on, has a no-hit bid, unless they strike out 27, and that hasn't happened yet, that you need a little help from your friends. So I always wanted guys to continue to kind of act the way they usually act in the dugout. Now, you know, I don't want some guy hitting me with shells or anything, or, you know, pelting me with gum or something like that, but I would like it to be how it usually is, you know? So I'm talking about all these new hitters, near no-hitters, and I'm kind of leaving, burying the lead. So you don't know this, Jimmy, but I'm probably more famous for losing a college game than I am for anything I ever did in the major leagues.
The scoreboard littered with nothing but zeros for 11 innings. Darling had not allowed a hit.
So I pitched a college game against St. John's, and I went to Yale in Connecticut, and it was 11 innings of no-hit ball. I struck out 16. I lost the no-hitter on the first hitter in the 12th, had a base hit to left, stole second, stole third, and then stole home.
Wow.
On a first and third situation. So I know that day, because I was in the lineup that day, and I was hitting that day, but I didn't have any hits, so I was not hitting that day. And I remember that dugout that day was the quietest it had ever been. No one knew how to act. No one knew how to act in the stands. My mom, at some point around the seventh inning, my dad said she started crying until the 12th, from the seventh inning until the 12th, because she didn't know what to do. But it was pretty overwhelming for all of the people that were involved. But I will say something that was the classiest thing that ever happened to me on a baseball field, is that after I gave up the hit in the 12th, the opposing team, the St. John's University team, got out of their dugout and gave me a standing ovation. And I always thought that was like one of the coolest things.
That's awesome.
And it could only happen in college, because in the pros that would never happen. They'd be like,
never,
finally,
never.
Finally we got a hit off, darling. It should have happened earlier, well, you know. So
well deserved. You said into the 12th inning? So 11 innings of no-hit ball?
11 innings of no-hit ball, losing in the 12th.
How many pitches did you throw that day?
176.
Wow.
Now, it's amazing I know that number. I never knew the number when it was happening, but someone went over and charted all the pitches, and it ended up being 176. I played right field the next day and had to make a throw home to try to get a guy. So someone would have jailed my college coach in these days, but not in those days. So.
49 years of baseball, from 9 years old when I put my first uniform on until right now, it's still one of the top three, if not the best pitch game I've ever seen. And it wasn't me, it was Ronnie.
So we're going to agree. Sometimes we're going to disagree. But I think we agree on this unwritten rule. Wipe it from the books. Be able to celebrate during when it's happening with the pitcher that it is happening to, but in a nice, mild-mannered way. Like, keep it going, buddy. You know, we're here for you. Let him put it in play. We're not going to miss one play all night long, just to give him the confidence that we know what's going on and we're here with you.
You heard it from a pitcher first. It's been approved.
There you go. All right. Those are our unwritten rules of jinxing a no-no. And I think you and I are on the same page. You're not superstitious. I'm not superstitious. If a guy's throwing a no-hitter, okay, leave him semi-alone. But it's all right to go over there, tap him on the leg and say, keep it going, fella.
Definitely, and I'm right along with you. Hey, you have to respect the player. You have to respect the situation. You have to respect the unwritten rule. So it's tough for me to hold all this laughter and joy in, but yet and still, if I know the guy on the mound is the guy that I really catch up with, I got to respect it. Let him be. Go get this no-hitter, and we'll celebrate afterwards.
Unwritten rules. That's Jimmy Rollins. I'm Ron Darling. Thanks. Unwritten is a production of Odyssey and Major League Baseball. Our senior producer is Paul Aspen of Odyssey with Ian Kay of Major League Baseball. Lena Glazer is the executive producer of 2400 Sports at Odyssey. Jody Avergan and Nick Trotta of MLB are executive producers. Special thanks to everyone at Major League Baseball and Odyssey who helped make this show happen. If you enjoy the show, please leave a rating or a review in your podcaster player of choice, or just tell someone about the show. For Jimmy Rollins, I'm Ron Darling. Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back soon with more on Baseball's Unwritten Rules.